Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 3 lines from the top of Daf Chof Hei. Before beginning the actual Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin where you see a Mivneh heading. The Mivneh is a structural note. In the Shas Gemara marking system, the Shas Ozer is the Gemara that appears on your frame. We offer, from time to time, structural notes that we call Mivneh and topic headings that we call Nosei. The Mivneh reads as follows. We have a crown shape featured. This surrounds the expression Mino Aminola, from where do I know? These are Mekoros, searching, we're searching for sources. Mekoros are sources, Shavrafam Nunavarabo, sources for these two opinions, Lishitosam, regarding their opinions, Ve'inyan Me'emos Sainer Seres Eglo Harufa. You will recall that at the end of our last year, this issue came up. From what point does the Eglo Arufa become prohibited? The Eglo Arufa is, just to review, is the calf that is brought in the event that a murder victim is found between two cities. We saw a machlokis between Rav Hamnuna and Rabba. Rav Hamnuna claiming that it becomes usur, it becomes forbidden, even while it is still alive. According to Rabba, its prohibition sets in, the prohibition of benefiting from this calf sets in only once its neck is broken. The Gemara opens with a long point. You'll notice we have written on the side of the Gemara text, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, Rav Hamnuna's name, and circled it with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of Rav Hamnuna's remark. Omar Rav Hamnuna, Mino Aminola, from where do I know that the Eglo Arufa, this calf, becomes prohibited while it's still alive? We saw at the end of our previous year that the point at which it becomes usur is the point that the animal descends to the spot where its neck will be broken. That's called Yiridosa Lenachal Eson. So from where do I know that it is usur, it becomes prohibited to benefit from this calf, even while it's still alive? Tisnan, we have a Tanaic source that reads, Hashoche Poras Chatos, Vishor Haniskal, V'Eglo Arufa, one who slaughters a Poras Chatos is the red heifer, which we don't have to focus on right now. Vishor Haniskal is the animal condemned to death as a result of committing a capital offense. Ve'eglo arufa, and this is a reference to our topic, the calf that's brought in the event that a corpse is found, a murder victim is found between two cities. Let us say one slaughtered it, and slaughtered its mother on the same day. There is a prohibition known as Oisoi Ve'esbeno, the prohibition of slaughtering a mother and its offspring on the same day. Let us say that the Eglo Arufa was slaughtered on the same day that its mother had been slaughtered. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Shimon says there is exemption from the violation of Oisoi Ve'esbeno. The Chachomim Mechaivin, and the Chachomim say he is considered in violation of that offense. It's noteworthy that these examples, the Pora Aduma, the Shor HaNiskal, and Eglo Arufa, are not animals that one goes ahead and eats. So the Shechita that one does to them is a kind of unusual situation. So the, in fact, in the case of the only in the case of the Poras Chatos is Shechita to take place to, at all. The Shor HaNiskal and Eglo Arufa are animals that are killed, but not through Shechita. So let us say one did shecht, the eglo arufa, on the same day that its mother had been shechted, is that person considered in violation of the prohibition of oisav esveno, where the Torah says, do not slaughter the mother and offspring on the same day. So, bishlama ledidi, d'amino mechayim, Rav Hamnuna says that, as far as I am concerned, things work out well that say that the animal becomes prohibited to benefit from it even while it is still alive. So the Hal Pligi Reb Shimon Rabbanan, I, through my analysis, can explain the controversy between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan concerning has he violated Oisoi V'es Benoi. The Reb Shimon Sovar, Reb Shimon, who says he is exempt, he holds Shchito Sheino Ruya Lo Shmo Shchito. A shchita, she'ena ruya, means that it's not fit. It's a shchita that is not fit for eating, that it doesn't result in its being eaten, is not considered an act of shchita. Therefore, he is not in violation of oisoi ve'es benoi, because oisoi ve'es benoi is something violated only through the act of slaughtering both the mother and offspring. But since this is a shchita sheino ruya, and why is it shchita sheino ruya? Why does it, is it a shchita that doesn't lead to eating? Well, because, as I said, says Rav Hamnuna, the animal became forbidden while it's still alive. So you're shechting something that you can't come to eat. So it is a shchita sheino ruya, and it's not called shchita, it's not categorized as shchita. Therefore, there is no violation of osav esmano, which is a prohibition, an isser. It's a sin that's limited to the act of having done shechita to mother and offspring. But this is a shechita that's not fit. V'rabbonon amri, shechita sheina ruya shmo shechita, the Rabbonon who hold he is guilty of oisoi vespino when slaughtering the eglo arufa on the same day that he had slaughtered its mother. That is because it's true you can't come to eat it, but that doesn't minimize or infringe upon the shechita status. Elo, I amris, le'achar arifa, if one will take your approach, Rabbo's approach, that only after its neck is broken does it become prohibited. Amai pota Rabbi Shimon, why does Rabbi Shimon say that he is exempt from oisoi ve'es benoi? Shchita ru'u yohi, this is a fit shchita, because the animal at this point, this calf, is not prohibited. He didn't break its neck yet, otherwise he wouldn't be able to do shchita to it. So why does Rabbi Shimon exempt him from osav esbeno? V'chi tema sova Rabbi Shimon egla b'shchita kshera. You might say, you know why he exempts it? Because the act of shchita is in fact the same as the breaking of the neck. The neck. In other words, that atonement that these townspeople need is achieved through shchita, just as if arifa were done. And therefore, it's not considered a formal act of shechita, but it's rather viewed as arifa, and therefore, it is considered a shechita that's eino ruya l'achila, because this shechita it accomplishes the same thing that arifa would have accomplished, and it becomes osir b'hano. Well, this supposition, though, is not true. You know, this attempt to say that Reb Shimon holds that shechita accomplishes what arifa would do is simply not true. Now, v'hotnan, we will show you in the following source, especially if you focus on the dashed underlining that you see up in the upcoming lines, where it says egla b'shechita psula, that doing shechita to the egla does not accomplish the arifa. It's not; it doesn't accomplish the atonement. So the source reads v'hotnan. Kosher b'parah posel b'egla rufa, that which is fit in the case of the parah aduma is not acceptable by the egla rufa. Posel b'parah, that which is not acceptable by the parah, kosher b'egla rufa, is acceptable with the egla rufa. What do we mean by this? Parah b'shchita k'shera b'arifa psula. The parah, the parah aduma, is processed by a formal act of ritual slaughter, which we call shchita. As opposed to arifa, the breaking of its neck would ruin it, would be unfit in the case of parah aduma. With regard to the eglo, the opposite is true. Eglo b'arifa k'shera b'shchita psula. Now, you can see we've dashed underlined, as we mentioned before, that which is of central importance for our point. So you see that eglo if it's done by having its neck broken, that is the way to deal with it. However, doing a formal shechita to it is not fit. It won't accomplish the same thing Arifa would accomplish. Therefore, according to Rabbah's approach, that it becomes usur only after the neck breaking, the shechita should have been a good shechita, and therefore there should have been a violation of osur asmino, so we wouldn't understand why does Rabbi Shimon hold that he is exempt. So Rav Humna at this point has made his point. Ishtik, Rabbah was silent. Lebosar de Nofak, after Rav Humna went out, Omar Rabbah said, "My taimo lo amino lei, why didn't I tell him to Rav Shimon Sovar Eglo b'shchito k'shera?" I could have said that Rav Shimon disagrees with the Tanaic source. Rav Shimon himself is a Tano. He has the strength and authority to disagree with the source we saw two lines before. And I could have claimed that Rav Shimon holds that the shechita done to an egla is the same thing as the arifa, and that's why Rav Shimon holds there is no osur v'hanos violation, because the shechita in effect would make it osur v'hanos. So it's a shechita she'ena ruya, and Rav Shimon holds a shechita she'ena ruya lo shmo shechita, and therefore there is no violation of osur v'hanos, which is a sin associated only with an actual shechita. V'Rav Hamnuna Omar Loch, Rav Hamnuna responds to this position or this suggestion by saying it can't be that Rav Shimon will tell you that Eglo b'shchita k'shera. Why? Why can't it be? Because there's no record of someone ever saying anything like that. Lo nishtamitana de nishmeinon Eglo b'shchita k'shera. The Tana should not have avoided saying at some point this idea that Eglo b'shchitas k'shera detemo Rabbi Shimon, and then say this is shitas Rabbi Shimon. But as we said, there's no record of any Tana ever saying Eglo b'shchitas k'shera. Therefore, that which Rabbah suggested, Rav Hamnuna feels is untenable. Omar Rabbah meno amino lo, from where do I know what I said, that the pora, that the Eglo arufa becomes prohibited to benefit from only after its neck is broken? Midasnan, from the following Tanaic source. Eglo arufa eino kein. Im ad shelo nerfa, teitze v'tira be'eder. This is a quote from our Mishnah, that the eglo arufa eino kein, there's no machlokes chachomim and Rabbi Meir, and if it was discovered, the murder was discovered before its neck was broken, so it goes and grazes like chulin. It's totally permissible. The Amos Mechayim, if you're going to say like Rav Hamnuna said, that it becomes osur from while it's still alive, amai teitzei v'tira be'eder, how can the Mishnah say that it goes out and grazes as if it's regular chulin? Ha itzura lo mechayim. It became osur while it's still alive. In other words, while it's still alive, it becomes osur. And true, the murderer is found afterwards, but the egla rufa has already entered the egla rufa status. Rav Hamnuna will respond to that. To me, he would say, restate this Tanaic source, the Mishnah, and or understand it when it says ad shelo nerfa, rather ad shelo nir'eis la'arifa. If the murder was found before it became fit for neck breaking, which is the murder was discovered before the animal descended to the Nahal Eson. We mentioned in the end of our last year that the descent to the Nahal in Eson is the point in time where this opinion will say it becomes forbidden. So the murder was found before that point in time while it's still alive that it becomes ulcer. Therefore, it can be set out to graze as a regular permissible animal. Question. Amos Seifa. By stating the Seifa, it says Mishinerfa Tikover Bimakoma, that only once its neck is broken is it then buried, which indicates to us that prior to that it is not Osir Behano. So Rav Hamnuna will answer, Tani Mishinires La'arifa. that from the point that it appear that it becomes fit for its neck breaking, you will then have to bury that animal because it has become osir b'hanoah. Well, im kain, the question, emo seifa. The seifa says of the Mishnah regarding the egla rufa, it says that if once the neck is broken, you bury it in its spot because it's osir b'hanoah. Shal hasofek ba'o mitchila, it came originally to atone for an issue of safek, an issue of doubt. We don't know where the murderer came from. Kipra sveka v'holchala, the safek was atoned for, this issue of doubt was atoned for, and that's it, and therefore it has accomplished what it has accomplished, even though the murderer has already been found. V'i mechayim, if, as you, Rav Hamnuna, are claiming that the prohibition sets in when it's still, while it's still alive, adayin lo kipros vekosa, it's the atonement which is accomplished through the breaking of the neck hasn't yet taken place, so that the reading of the Mishnah will be difficult if you try to follow the approach taken by Rav Hamnuna. The Gemara answers, Tanoi hi, the issue of what point in time the Egla Rufa becomes usur, in fact, is a machlokes tanoim. Disanya, we have a Tanaic source that will indicate that it becomes usur while it's still alive. In other words, up till now, our Mishnah would have been our Mishnah points into the direction that the Egla Rufa becomes usur only after its neck is broken. But prior to that, no. The upcoming source will indicate that even while it's still alive, it's considered, it can be considered forbidden to benefit from. Disanya, the source begins, Ne'emar machshu mechaper b'fnim, v'ne'emar machshu mechaper b'chutz. The Torah speaks about a machshir and a mechaper b'fnim. B'fnim is a reference to in the Beis HaMikdash. What is a machshir in the Beis HaMikdash? The osham mitzorah. By a mitzorah bringing his korban osham, that enables him to eventually partake of kochim, of sacrificial meat, or sacrifices. That's a machshir. A mechaper is things that atone. For example, chatas and osham. Those are this machshir, mechaper, are brought in the Beis HaMikdash. V'nemar machshir mechaper b'chutz. There are examples of a machshir and a mechaper that are done outside the Beis HaMikdash. The machshir done outside the Beis HaMikdash are the tziporei mitzorah, the birds that a mitzorah brings as part of his purification ritual. Mechaper b'chutz, that includes Eglo Arufa and Soyer HaMishtalech. Now, our focus is on the Eglo Arufa. Those atone. The Eglo Arufa, we mentioned, is in the case of a murder victim found between two cities, and the community needs an atonement until the murderer is found. And Soyer HaMishtalech is the goat sent out on Yom Kippur from the Beis HaMikdash to a cliff outside of Yerushalayim, and it carries with it our sins, and its death is an atonement for that. Ma machshir mechaper omer b'fnim, also boy machshir ki mechaper. Just like in the case of the machshir and mechaper, we treat the machshir like the mechaper. In other words, we treat the korban osham similarly to the way we treat the chatos and osham. When we say similarly, there may be fine differences, but for our purposes, the general procedure is, we say, are similar to one another. Af machshir mechaper ha'omer b'chutz, asei machshir kemechaper. So too, with regard to the machshir mechaper that are done outside the Beis HaMikdash, let us treat the machshir like the mechaper. Now, the mechaper, the Soyer HaMishtaleach, for example, is something that is definitely forbidden mechayim. So that we see from here that the Egla Rufa likewise is something forbidden mechayim. If we glance at the Rashi, af machshir u mechaper omur b'chutz asei boi machshir, which is the tzipori mitzorah, the asurim bahano, they are forbidden to benefit from mechayim while they are still alive. Kimechaper b'sar mishtaleach v'gla arufa, and they will be treated as being forbidden from while they are still alive, like the mechaper, the sar mishtaleach, and the egla arufa. Almos svirle. Now this is the main point for us. We see from here the egla arufa mechayim asira, that the egla arufa is usur while it's still alive. Just like we learn the machshir, meaning the birds of the mitzor, from the mechaper, kol shekein the yolif mechaper mi mechaper, namely egla arufa mi soir. I'll learn the way we treat the egla arufa from the way we treat the yom kippur goat. The soir vaday also mechayim, and this goat is definitely also from a point in time that it's still alive. Kishar kochim, it's alive. While it's still alive, it already becomes labeled as a as something that is forbidden to benefit from. So this will be the source that shows that the egla rufa likewise is usur mechayim. We are now going to learn a mishnah that we have seen cited on numerous occasions previously. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Misnadev Odom Osham Tolui B'chol Yom. A person could voluntarily bring an Osham Tolui every day. U'b'chol Shah Shirte, not only every day, every hour that he should want. V'hu Hoyanikra Osham Chasidim. And this type of Osham Tolui, voluntary offering, was called the Osham of the Pious. Omru Alav Al Bava Ben Buta. It was said regarding this individual, Bava ben Buta, Shoya Misnadev Osham Tolui B'chol Yoim, he used to bring a voluntary Osham Tolui every day, Chutz Me Achar Yom HaKippurim, except for the day after Yom Kippur, being that Yom Kippur serves as an atonement for those things that an Osham Tolui is supposed to atone for. Yom Echad Omar, one day, Bava ben Buta said, Hamoin Hazeh. This is a loshon, an expression of a vow. He says, Ha'ilu hoyu menichim li, if they would allow me or leave me be, hoyisi mevi, I would bring even right after Yom Kippur. Ela omrim li, but they tell me, Hamtein ad shetikones lebeis hasofek. Wait a little bit until you enter the doubt. In other words, wait a day after Yom Kippur, not the very day right after Yom Kippur, but wait a little bit more until you enter into a situation where you may have committed a sin. V'chachomim omrim ein mevi osham tolui elo al davar shizdono kores v'shigigoso chatos. The Chachamim have a much more limited approach to the Osham Tolui and say that it's brought only in an event that you have a doubt concerning that kind of sin, that if you knew you had transgressed it unwittingly, you would bring a Korban Chatos, and if done willingly, they would be Chayav Kores. We have a slash here in the Mishnah indicating that this is now a new idea. Chayvei chatos v'ashamos v'adoyin she'ovar alein yom ha'kippurim. People that had been obligated to bring a sin offering or an osham vadai, a formal osham sacrifice, and they hadn't brought it until Yom Kippur went by. In other words, they had been obligated because of having sinned before Yom Kippur, did not yet bring these korbanos that they became obligated in. Yom Kippur passed by. Chayav lovi lachar Yom Kippur. Their obligation remains even after Yom Kippur. In contrast, chayvei ashamas fluyim p'turin, someone who had encountered a suffix, a doubtful sin, warranting his bringing an osham toli, did not yet bring it. Yom Kippur passed by. He is now exempt. And this is in effect showing us that Yom Kippur atones for that which the Osham Tolui was supposed to take care of. Mi shebo biyodo safek avera biyom kippurim. If someone encountered even a doubtful type sin on Yom Kippur, afilu im chashecha, even if it's minutes before the end of Yom Kippur, potter, he is exempt. from the need to bring an Asham Toloi. Shekol Hayom Mechaper. Every minute of the Yom Kippur day has atonement powers to it. Therefore, even if it's close to the end of Yom Kippur day and he encountered a suffek, a doubtful sin commission, Yom Kippur will atone. A woman who, as a result of a doubtful childbirth issue, and as a result of having possibly given birth or possibly miscarried, she becomes obligated in a sin offering of a bird. It's called chatos ha'of that comes al hasofek. A woman like that, that had encountered such a situation and hence become obligated to bring the chatos ha'of, and Yom Kippur passes by, chayeves lehavi la'achar Yom HaKippurim. She still has the obligation of bringing this sacrifice, even though it's associated with safek. Why is she still obligated, though Yom Kippur passed by? Mitnei shemachsheres le'achol bezvochim. This chatos ha'of is not brought for sin atonement, but rather it's brought to enable her to partake of sacrifices. And Yom Kippur does not cover that. Chatos ha'of habo al hasofek im mishenimlecha noda lo, a chatos ha'of that comes as a result of doubtful circumstances. If after the bird experienced its slaughter through Malika is the process of slaughter of a bird offering, it then became known to her that which was originally a doubt. Let us say it became known to her that she did not experience a birth, and you have this chatos ha'of in front of you. Hare zu tikover, it is to be buried, it cannot be eaten. The Gemara, Mai Taimo de Rabbi Eliezer. Before going further into the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin. Under the Nosei, we have written, Ta'amim Shel Rabbi Elazar Rabbono Binyan Nidvas Asham Toloi. We're going to see the sources that are for these opinions of Rabbi Elazar Rabbono, who argue whether one can voluntarily bring an Asham Toloi. Rabbi Elazar says that one is able to do that. Mai Taimo de Rabbi Elazar, the Gemara asks. The answer, I salkadaitoch choivo hi, if one were to think that the Asham Toloi is an obligatory sacrifice, and as the Rabbeinu Gershom adds, that it as such it would then afford total atonement, complete atonement, when it becomes known to the offender that he in fact did commit the sin that he was in doubt of, amai maisi chatos, why does he bring a sin offering, which is the actual procedure that after one brings an osham talui, when he discovers that he had actually sinned, he then brings a korban chatos. So we see from here that the Asham Toloi that he brought was not a korban choiva, an obligatory korban giving atonement, giving a full atonement. So we therefore conclude, it must be classified as a nidova. Let us glance at the Rabbeinu Gershom. You'll find that we've underlined what he says. The Divo HaMaschil found about 4-5 lines from the bottom. Isagadaita choivohi umechaperes kapora gemura kishar choivos. If you were to think that it's a chova and affords complete atonement like other obligatory sin offerings, imken kimisiadale, when it becomes known that he had in fact done this sin, amai maisi chatos, why does he bring a chatos? Ho kipro ole osham toloi. He already got his kapora through the osham toloi. So Rabbi Lezer says, based on the fact that a chatos needs to be brought afterwards, when he discovers that he committed the sin, that sheds light on the osham toloi that he brought earlier as being classified as a nidava, something one could bring voluntarily. The Rabbanan respond, Oila ushlamim hu da'asu b'neder u'nidava. Only the Ola and Shlamim type sacrifices can be brought voluntarily. Avol chatos v'osham, choyva ninhu. A chatos, a sin offering, and an osham sacrifice are obligatory, meaning those are things that one does not bring in a voluntary fashion. The osham toloi also is a chova. Hainu taimo demaisi mekame demisyadale. And the following is the reason why he brings before he discovered the actual sin commission, lahogain olav, to offer him interim protection. The Torah chosal gufon shel Yisrael. The Torah has compassion for the Jewish people. Therefore, the person which we eventually find out that he sinned, but at the point in time that he doesn't know that, he is in doubt. He gets this interim atonement or protection afforded by the Osham Toli. But that doesn't demonstrate that it is a nedava. Omale Rav Acha Brei Derava LeRavashi. Rav Acha raises the possibility of an alternative approach. According to the Rabbanan that want to learn from Oila Ushlamim, Dilma Oshem Toloi ka Oila Ushlamim. Maybe the Oshem Toloi is like an Ola Ushlamim. Ma Oila Ushlamim dosu bechova osu nami benedava. The nature of an Oila Ushlamim is that they come at times as obligatory sacrifices, and they come as voluntary sacrifices. Oshem Toloi nami the osi bechova. Osi nami b'nedava. The Oshem Toloi, which the Rabbanan want to say is a chova, but it may be also brought as a nedava. In other words, if the Rabbanan are insistent on learning from other sacrifices, could they not come to this conclusion and end up holding that Oshem Toloi could be brought voluntarily? Amale, Rav Ashi answers, Oila ushlamim ikur b'nedava ksivi. The primary reference in the Torah to Olo Shlamim is in the context of a voluntary offering. Asham Toloi Iker Bechova Ksiv. The Asham Toloi is stated primarily as an obligation that one needs to bring when he encountered an issue of a doubtful sin. And we go according to the Iker, the main recording of the Korban, and it is in the context of obligation. Toni Rebbe Chiyo Kameh de Rava. There's another girsa that the Shita Mubetzes has, name-wise, Rebbe Chanina. So Rebbe Chanina or Rebbe Chiyo taught in front of Rava the following Tanaic source, and we continue now at the top of Amud Beis. Osham Toloi Bo Al Hanavela. And Osham Toloi is a korban that can be brought if a person was involved with a suffic negative command, like nevela. Nevela is forbidden, is an example of meat that one is not allowed to eat. If one does eat it, he's considered in violation of a negative command, which carries with it a penalty of malkos, but nothing more than that. No kores. So you have a Tanaic source saying here that the Osham Toloi is brought even in the case of a suffic lav. Omar Lay. So the Rava asks, "V'ha anan tanan?" But did we not learn in the Mishnah? The Chachamim eno mevi Oshem Toloi el al davar shezdoinei kares v'shigosu chatos. The Chachamim said that an Oshem Toloi is brought only when it's a serious type violation, where it carries with it, if done knowingly, would carry with it a kores penalty, and if done unwittingly, he would be chayav a korban chatos, but not for the mere violation of a simple negative command, a simple lav. The E. Rebbe Eliezer, and if this Tanaic source at the top regarding the Vela were authored by Rebbe Eliezer, b'nedava nami osi, he wouldn't have to wait till he does get involved with a suffake sin. He could bring one even voluntarily. So Rabbi Chanina says back, Omar Le, my time olo masnis. Why have you not learned the Mishnayos with clarity? Or alternatively, Rashi has a second shot. Why didn't you learn it by Rabbah? And if you had, you would have known the explanation like I know it. And what is the explanation? Zimnin Sagin Tanisa Kami Mar. Many times I taught this over, I stated this source in the presence of Mor. Umanu, who is Mor? Rabbah. The Omar Li, and Rabbah explained to me, Ha Mani, this source that says an Hashem Toli is brought in the case of a Suffolk Nevela, Rabbi Eliezer, he, the Omrulo. It's a hybrid version of Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Lezer's position as a result of the comment that the colleagues said back to him, Disnan. This is a reference to the Mishnah where we saw Rabbi Lezer reported Bava ben Buta's practice of bringing an Hashem Toloi every day and his interest in bringing in even right after Yom Kippur. But the Rabbanan said back to him the following, Yalo Oimrim lo hamtein ad shikones lebeis hasofek. Don't bring an Hashem Toloi unless there's some element of sin, of doubt concerning sin. So that the suffix, nevela, would be a reasonable basis for bringing the Osham Toloi, according to that approach that we call the Rebbe Lezer of Omrulo. On the outside margin, we have a structural note we entitle Mivneh, with a double underline featured, my time, and we'll have the Gemara trying to find the reason for 2 points mentioned, and they are, number one, the reason for the Omrulo, Sheesh Lamtin Ad Shemagila Beis HaSafek. Why is it that the Rabbanon of Omrulo, that those who responded to Bovan Behuta said, wait till you enter the realm of doubt, of sin, doubtful sin? And the Rabbanon that say, De'ein Oshem Toli Bo B'Nedova. So we're going to be looking for sources for these 2 points. The Gemara, Omar Rova, my time of the Omrulo. What is their reason for saying that the Oshem Toli is brought when there is an element of doubtful sin, even if it concerns a mere lav? Omar Kraw, the Pasuk says, regarding the Oshem Toloi, it says, Asher lo te'osena v'oshem. Now in this Pasuk, we've dashed underline lo te'osena. That expression indicates a lo sa'ase, a mere lav. So we see from this that the Oshem Toloi could offer a atonement for a suffek lav, or mere lav, as opposed to zodon kores. Omar Rava, my time of the Rabbanon, the Amri, Amy Vimashem Toli, Allah Dovish, is doing the Koreshigos of Chatos. What is the basis of the Rabbanon's opinion that Oshem Toli comes only to atone for an issue of doubt that would have warranted, if done premeditated, a Kores punishment, and if known but done unwittingly, a sin, a Chatos offering? How do the Rabbanon know that point? Namely, the limitation of the Oshem Toloi to that realm. Answer, Yalfi mitzvus mechatas chelev. They have a gezera shava between the topic of Oshem Toloi and the topic of a sin offering that's termed chatas chelev. It's an expression for your standard sin offering. Ma lahalon dover shezdoine koresh yosu chatas. Just like over there, the bringing of a sin offering. For example, if one ate unwittingly, he ate chalev. Chalev is that kind of offense that is carries with it a kores penalty, and if done unwittingly, a korban chatos. Afkan, so too, in the realm of Oshem Toloi, it has to be a doubt concerning a sin that's dovar shezdono kores v'shigigoso chatos, that has those same characteristics. Tonu Rabbonan. Chamisho Ashamos Mechaprin, Oshem Toloi Ein Mechaper. This source is obscure. My Ko'omar, what is this source telling us? What does it mean? So Rav Yosef is the first explanation, and on the outside margin we have under our Mivneh heading a diamond featured, and it surrounds the expressions in the Gemara Hochi Kotani. Shnei Hezberim La Braisa, we'll see two explanations for the Braisa de Kotani, Chamesha Shomoi, Chamisha Shomois, Mechaper Kapora Gemura, V'yoshem Tonli Ein Mechaper Kapora Gemura. What is the meaning of this source? So the Gemara continues. Omar Rav Yosef Hochi Ko Omar. Chamisha Shomos Mechaprin Kapora Gemura. And the Oshem Toli Ein Mechaper Kapora Gemura. Five Ashamos that are listed in the Torah, they offer complete Kapora. And the Oshem Tolui does not. Now this approach that Rav Yosef is taking is Udolo k'Rabbi Eliezer, is not like Rabbi Eliezer, the Omar Oshem Tolui bo al hanevela. According to Rabbi Eliezer, that an Oshem Tolui is brought in the event that someone was a suffolk violator of eating nevela, there, upon discovery that he actually ate nevela, there is no further sacrifice that is going to be brought. So we see that as far as Rabbi Lezer is concerned, that an Oshem Tolui is brought in the case of Suffolk nevela, and there is no additional sacrifice brought, it is then clear that the Oshem Tolui accomplished the maximum kapora, namely kapora gemura, whereby there is no additional atonement that is necessary. Therefore, this source that Rav Yosef is rereading as saying that the Oshem Tolui is not Mechaper Kapora Gemura cannot be like or authored by Rabbi Eliezer. Ravina Omar Hochi Kotani. Ravina's approach to the obscure source is as follows. Chamisha Shamois Ein Acher Mechaper Kaporoson. With regard to the five ashamos that the Torah mentions regarding five specific sins, nothing else can accomplish the atonement that the bringing of the osham does. Dechimis yadalei maisi. When he discovers that he committed the sin that an osham varai is brought for, he has to bring the osham varai, and nothing else will cover it. Oshem Tolui, however, with regard to the Oshem Tolui, Achir Mechaper Kaporoso, something else could afford the atonement that the Oshem Tolui would do. Delchi Misyadalei Lo Maisi. To the extent that when he discovers that the sin that he had committed, or had, that he was in doubt about, there is an example that he still won't have to bring any additional sacrifice, because something else offered its atonement. Kiddusnan. This will now be clarified by the following source. Chai v'chatos v'ashamos v'adoyen shover lehem yom ha-kippurim. Someone who was obligated to bring a sin offering or an osham vadai, and Yom Kippur passed before they brought these sacrifices, Chayovin Lohavi Achar Yom HaKippurim. The obligation remains, and they'll have to bring those sacrifices even after Yom Kippur went by. In other words, nothing takes their place. Chayve Ashamos Tluyin Turin. However, someone who had been Chayev to bring an Osham Tolui before Yom Kippur, and then Yom Kippur went by, he is no longer obligated to bring the Oshem Tolui, showing us that something else does take the place of the Oshem Tolui. So that this is what Ravino in his approach, the second diamond that we saw above, when it said that the Chamisha Ashamas, nothing else it takes their place, whereas in the case of the Oshem Tolui, he had said Achir Mechaper Kaporoso. Something else can take its place. Chayvei chatois v'ashomois v'adoyin chayovin lohovi achar yom ha-kippurim. Kotoni. it had been stated in a Tanaic source, Chai v'chatos v'shamos v'adoyen sh'over lehem yom ha-kippurim, chayovin lohavi la'achar yom ha-kippurim. When someone had been obligated to bring a chatos or osham offering, and he had not brought it until Yom Kippur passed by, he is still obligated to bring those sacrifices. Chai v'ashamos tluyin turin. Someone who had been obligated to bring an osham tolui and Yom Kippur went by, he does not have to bring the osham tolui anymore. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a triangle marking that will appear in a alternating position. On the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we feature the triangle and indicate this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style. So with the point facing up, that represents she'elos, questions. Minayin d'yom ha-kippurim eino mechaper al ha-shamos v'adoin v'chatos. From where do we know that Yom Kippur doesn't attain or accomplish the atonement afforded by an osham vaday or a korban chatos? With the triangle flipping over, those are tshuvos, responses. The house form introduces deos shenoisnim tshuva l'she'elos hanal. We will see Rav Dimi, later on Abaye, afterwards another approach of Abaye, offering their answers to this particular question. From where do we know that Yom Kippur does not atone for the osham vaday or chatos requirement? So the Gemara, Mino Hanimili, from where do we know that point? Ki osa Rav Dimi Omrav, Ami Omar Rabbi Chanina Omar Kra. When Rav Dimi came, he quoted in the name of these Rabbonan, and they quoted a pasuk regarding Yom Kippur. It says, V'chiper al ha-kodesh mitumas b'nei Yisrael u'mipishehem l'chol chatosam. Chatoim dumyo dipshoyim. The nature of Yom Kippur, in its atonement powers, is to atone for sins, chatoim, that are like pshoyim. These are different terms regarding different levels of sinning. Ma pshoyim delav b'nei korban, just like a pesha is a type of sin that does not have a korban brought. Pesha is an example of someone who willingly sinned in a rebellious fashion, not in an unwitting fashion, but a knowing rebellious fashion. That kind of sin does not have a korban brought to atone for him. Af chatoyim delav b'nei korban. So too, those kind of sins that don't have korbanos. For example, one who ate nevela, one who ate unkosher meat. That's a sin, but it doesn't have a korban. And concerning those kinds of sins, mechaper. That means that Yom Kippur atones for. Avol chatois de b'nei korbaninu, but sins that are sacrificial oriented, loy mechaper. Yom Kippur does not atone for them. So that if someone happened to have committed a sin that would warrant the bringing of a chatos or an osham vaday, Yom Kippur is not effective. Question: Omer le'Abaye, v'ha kiksiv hodein kra. This pasuk, when is it stated? The pasuk that we just read of V'chiper al ha-kodesh mitumas ben Israel, that pasuk is written in the context of B'soyer ha-nase b'fnim hu dichtiv, D'loi mechaper al averos mitzvah, al averos de mitzvah yedua. The soyer is a goat offering that's sacrificed and whose blood is sprinkled in the inner part of the Beis HaMikdash. That's called the Na'aseh Bifnim. Do you know what the reason or what it is brought for? It, the soyer Na'aseh Bifnim, is brought to atone for issues concerning Tumas Mikdash. These are cases where a person originally knew that he had encountered Tumah, but entered the Beis HaMikdash forgetting that he had been Tomei. And until he discovers that he entered in a state of Tumah, you're dealing with someone that doesn't know that he actually sinned. That is what the Soyer Nasi Bifnim atones for. Avol, Soyer HaMishtaleach, the goat that is sent away, sent out of the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, to a cliff where it's pushed off and dies. The Mechaper al Averos, the Mitzvah Yedua, it atones for known sins. Emo loch afilu al chatoyim de bnei korbaninu mechaper. I would say that it atones even for those kind of sins that warranted the bringing of sacrifices. So at this point, we're suggesting that Yom Kippur does atone for chayvei chatos and hashamos vadoyin as well. Elo Omar Abaye. Abaye, therefore, comes up with his source. Mehocha, from the following. This pasuk actually is in the context of this Sor HaMishtalech, the sent away goat. And it says, V'svad olav eskol avoynoiz b'nei Yisrael eskol b'shem l'chol chatosam. Chatoyim dumi b'dipshoyim. In this pasuk, we're paralleling chatoyim, one kind of sin, to pshoyim, another category of sin. Ma pshoyim de la b'nei korban, just like pshoyim are those kind of offenses that do not have a korban that atones for them. Af chatoyim de la b'nei korban. So too, the sins that the Sor HaMishleach covers are those kind of sins that are not korban oriented. Avo chatoyim de b'nei korbaninu, but those sins that are korban based, in other words, sins committed warranting then the bringing of a chatos or osham varai, loy mechaper, the Sor HaMishtalech will not atone for that. Umiate kro b'Sor HaMishtalech. Namely, even though the Sor HaMishtalech is mechaper, does atone for averos that he was aware of, it's not mechaper for sins that are b'nei korban. Lememra, this idea of miate kro comes to tell me the al chatoyim de bnei korban ninhu loy mechaper, that the Sor HaMishtalech with all of its atonement capacity is mechaper only for those kind of sins that are like pshoyim, and just like pshoyim are non korban based, so too the chatoyim are non korban based. For those kind of things, Sor HaMishtalech is mechaper. However, for chatoim that are korban based, Sor HaMishtalech will not atone. Therefore, Yom Kippur does not atone for those kind of offenses. And therefore, after Yom Kippur, he'll have to bring his korban chatas or osham vadai. Omar Le Rav Dimi, notice the triangle point facing up once again. This is a question. Rav Dimi challenges and says, "Mimai dani pshoyim? Who is to say that the pshoyim word in the pasuk, the lav b'nei korban ninu, are non-korban based? Dilma hani de b'nei korban ninu? It could be that pshoyim, even though pesha refers to something that is a willing sinner, a rebellious individual, there are examples of pshoyim that do bring sacrifices. Even though, by rule of thumb, we say that sacrifices are brought only when the offender was shogei, was unwitting, there are examples of pshoyim, that of a known a person who willingly or knowingly sinned, nevertheless still brings a sacrifice. And the pasuk, when it mentions pshoyim, maybe it's referring to those pshoyim that are b'nei korban. Kidisnan, arba'o mevi'in al hazodon kishkogo. There are four examples of those that bring for a willing or knowing sin, someone who sinned knowingly, as one brings when he has sinned unknowingly. We have a bracketed section. The bracket note, you'll see where the start comment appears on the side of the Gemara. So, Graim L'Shem Diluk, the purpose of these brackets is for initially skipping. Achrei Sograim, Bo Tshuva L'Kushyas Abaye. Right after the brackets, there is an answer to the question. to the question that Rav Dimi raises. I should not Abaye, but rather the question that Rav Dimi raises. Besocha sograyim muva divrei Ravin shem makbilin le divrei Abaye v'kushyas Rav Dimi. Within the brackets, we have another. We have more names involving Ravin his discussion, which parallels the discussion between Abaye and Rav Dimi. So if we have heard the question, namely Rav Dimi's suggestion that Pshoyim, written by the Sar Mishaleach, might in fact refer to sacrifice or sin, or sacrifice-oriented sins. And if that be the case, so that it could then be argued that Yom Kippur will atone for people that were chayav chatos, echatos, or osham vadai. Skipping the bracketed section, you can see the bracket length indicator, the vertical dash dotted line, at the end of which you see the answer, Omar le Rovin, Roiv, Pshoyim, Lav, B'nei Korban. When defining words, we go according to the majority use of the word, and the majority of Pshoyim are not Korban based. It's true there are four examples of people that bring sacrifices even though they knowingly sinned. Most knowing sinners, most examples of knowing of a sin committed knowingly do not bring a sacrifice. Let's go back now to the bracketed section. Itmar Nami, we have a statement like Abaye, Ki Osa Ravin, Omar Rabbi Yosi, Omar Reish Lakish. The pasuk by the Sar Mishalech says, V'izvad Olov es kol avoynes b'nei Yisrael, es kol pishayim l'chol chatosam. This is the same pasuk that Abaye quoted. Chatoyim dumi b'pshoyim. In this pasuk, we see reference to chatoyim and pshoyim. Ma pshoyim delav b'nei korbon, mechaper. Just like pshoyim, which are not Korban based, Yom Kippur is mechaper, the sending away of the Sar Mishaleach grants atonement. Af chatoim delav v'nei korban mechaper. So too, the sins, other sins that are not korban based, so Yom Kippur will atone for it. Avo chatoim v'nei korban lo mechaper. But sins that are korban based, Yom Kippur and the Sar Mishaleach do not atone for them. So there will remain the obligation to bring the Chatos or Osham Vadai after Yom Kippur. Omar le Abaye. Here you have Abaye responding to Ravin. Ano nami mehodein kro amri. I also cited the posik you are citing. The Akshi li Rav Dimi, and Rav Dimi asked on me, Mimai dani pshoyim delav b'nei korbanin, who is to say that the pshoyim and the posuk are not korban based? Dilmo hanoch de b'nei korbaninu. Maybe the pshoyim, which is a term used for people that knowingly sin, are those kind of sin, of pshoyim that do have a sacrifice brought for them. Kedisnan, as the source says, arbo mevi'im al hazada and kishkola. There are four examples of sinners that bring, even though they knowingly sinned, as one would bring when one is bishogeg. So the question that Rav Dimi raised is still in place. And the result of his question would be that Yom Kippur could mechaper even for sins that have korbanos brought for them. And therefore, if Yom Kippur passes and the person in the meantime has not brought his chatos or osham vadai, he will no longer need to bring it. Omar le Ravin. Ravin answers, Roiv pshoyim lav b'nei korban. When you see the word pshoyim in the pasuk, define it by its common use, and the common use of the word pesha is in reference to those sins that are not b'nei korban. Omar le Abaye says back with a question, midi rov ksiv, does it say rov in the pasuk? Does it say majority? It doesn't say majority. So it could be that pshoyim is a reference to those few kinds of cases where, even though it was a knowing offense, it still is korban based. And as we said already a number of times, the result of this suggestion is that Yom Kippur would mechaper, would atone for a chatos and Oshem Vadai as well. And if one had not brought the Chatos or Oshem Vadai before Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur passed by, he would no longer have to bring it. Elo Omar Abaye, may Resha Dekra. Abaye, once again, is giving us a source, and he says from the first part of the Pasuk, we can see this point. The Hisvad Olav is Kol Avonos B'nei Yisrael. That's the beginning of the Pasuk. The Tanya, Avonos Elizdonos. The word Avonos is a reference to Mazid commission. Mazid meaning knowing sin, knowing sinner. V'cheinu Omer Avona Bo. The Rashi says Avona Bo, the Ha Mazid Hu. This is a reference to Mazid. Dichtib Reishi Dekro Ki Dvar Hashem Boza. We see from the context that of Avon Abba that you're talking about a mazid, someone who is a willing or knowing sinner. The Pasuk says, V'eskol pishem l'cho chatosam lomali. What do I learn from this? Answer, la'akshuye, to compare chatoim l'pshoyim. Ma pshoyim delav b'nei korbon, af chatoim delav b'nei korbon. The ability of Yom Kippur to atone are those kind of sins that are not korban based. Avochatoim de bnei korban inu, but those sins that need a korban to be brought, loy mechaper. Chayvei ashamos tluyin pturin. A person who had encountered a need to bring an Oshem Tolui before Yom Kippur, and then Yom Kippur went by, he no longer needs to bring the Oshem Tolui. Menohani Mili, from where do we know this? Amar Belozer Makra, the Pasuk says by Yom Kippur, Mikol Chatoisechem Lifnei Hashem. This is a quote from Vayikra Perik Tesayin Pasuk Lamed. The Lifnei Hashem expression here shows me the following. Chet she'ein makir boy elo hamokoim. A sin that only the Almighty is aware of, knows of. Namely, we're talking about a person that doesn't himself know that he sinned. Something like that. Yom HaKippur Mechaper. The nature of the Oshem Tolui is in fact brought under those circumstances for a sin that he's not sure maybe he committed, maybe not. Who knows? Only the Almighty. So the Pasuk tells us that the Yom Kippur atones for that. We have a new marking here, a crown shape, and on the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, this crown shape features Memros Shel Rav Tachlifa. Comments made by Rav Tachlifa. Shnei Dvarim Shiyom Kippur Lo Mechaper Aleim. Two areas that Yom Kippur does not atone for. One is Chayvei Chatos Vashomos Vadoyin. People that had been obligated before Yom Kippur to bring a Chatos or Osham. And likewise, Chayvei Malkius. Someone who had violated a type of sin that requires the sinner to receive malchus. Malchus are lashings. So our Gemara, Omar of Tachlifa, Avua de Rav Huna, Mishmei de Rava. Rav Tachlifa, the father of Rav Huna, says in the name of Rava, Kadmaisa Nami, that which Yom Kippur does not atone for chatois and hashamos vadoyin, namely that a person will still need to bring his chatos or osham after Yom Kippur. That point also lo tesi lemifshite don't establish that or use as a source for that information lo midrav dimi velo midabaye elo mehal. You notice that Rav Dimi and Abaye we had marked off with house shapes, and we have been numbering them 1, 2, and 3 till now. So Rav Tachlif was saying that the issue of
Yom Kippur not atoning for Chatos and Osham Vadai, don't derive it from those sources, but rather from this. And we're calling this a fourth source. Elo Meha, from the following. In other words, from that which we just learned regarding the Osham Tolui, can be applied to this, namely, Chet She'en Makir Bo Elo HaMokoim, a sin that only the Almighty is aware of, Yom HaKippur Mechaper. Yom Kippur offers atonement for that. Umina. And from that, we can make the following inference. And here the Gemara just restates what it just said. Chet She'en Makir Bo Elo HaMokoim Hu Yom Kippur Mechaper. A sin that only the Almighty is aware of, Yom Kippur atones for. Avol de Yodabo, but something that a person himself was aware of. For example, he knew that he had eaten that which was Chalev, albeit he did it unwittingly, but he's aware that he sinned, thereby generating the need for a Korban Chatos. Loi Mechaper, Yom Kippur does not atone for that. And hence, from this, we can see just like we see that Yom Kippur does atone for that which an Osham Tolui requirement, by the same token from that very source, we infer that Yom Kippur will not mechaper for that which warrants the bringing of a Korban Chatos or Osham Vadai. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.